Hello, welcome to episode 11 of the Retro Break podcast. In this week's episode, I'm telling you why the Virtual Boy deserves more love. So if you've never heard of the Nintendo Virtual Boy before, it's basically a precursor to modern day virtual reality headsets. It's not quite virtual reality because it doesn't have that six axis of movement, but what it does have is really incredible 3D effects for the time at least. It was released in 1995 and it was kind of pitched as a sort of third pillar for Nintendo at the time, kind of similar to what they did with the DS many years later, except this wasn't really marketed that well, and I'll get back to that in a little bit. But basically, it's just a headset, and it's too heavy to actually just strap onto your head, so what it also came with was a sort of tripod mount that goes on the bottom. I've broken mine, unfortunately, because I took it to college many, many years ago to show people there what it's like and stuff, and I think I broke it in my bag, or people were passing it around and it snapped or something. And then I tried to get a 3D printed adapter several years ago now, but that's kind of worn away, and that would just screw onto a regular tripod, and then you can use a regular tripod mount. So if you don't have the original tripod, there are ways around it. And it should also come with a sort of visor at the front as well to stop the light getting in from the side, but I seem to have lost that as well. It's like a foam pad that you put your face up against. But anyway, the other really interesting thing, or one of the reasons why it failed, should I say, is the fact that all of the graphics in the games themselves are all in red and black, which didn't really bother me too much at the time when I was playing it, but I know for a lot of people they were really disappointed that it wasn't full colour or that it wasn't just black and white. There is a good reason why they went for just red and black graphics, and apparently that is to help the background and the sprites on the screen stand out the most in 3D compared to any other combination of colours, and Nintendo at the time was always about cutting costs as well, and to have this really cheap LCD technology in both eyes, because obviously there has to be two different screens inside to get that sort of 3D into the screen effect, the cheapest way possible for them to make it was with this red and black LCD display technology. And the actual resolution of the screen is quite good. It's a lot better than the original Game Boy, and the system is actually 32-bit as well, although there isn't really anything that pushes it that far. It kind of looks like games that would run on the SNES using the Super FX chip to give it that 3D effect. There are some really interesting games, which I'll come back to a bit later on. But the first thing about the system that I wanted to bring up was the terrible marketing and the terrible reception that it got just after launch in 1995. So I was reading recently an interview on my favourite retro gaming website called smupulations.com, which takes a lot of Japanese exclusive articles and translates them into English. There was a really interesting one they did on there with Gunpei Yokoi, who was the designer of not only the Virtual Boy, but also of the original Game Boy and Game Boy Pocket as well. And then he went on to found his own company and come up with the WonderSwan, which is another fantastic little handheld. And then, unfortunately, he died in a car crash in late 1996, I believe. But before that, he made the Virtual Boy, and then he actually ended up leaving Nintendo. Whether it was related to the Virtual Boy's failure, people aren't entirely sure, but a lot of people seem to think that that was the reason that he left and went on to start his own company. But in this interview that I was reading with him around 1996, just after the Virtual Boy had failed, he was saying that a lot of it was down to marketing and the way that it was actually advertised. He thinks that if it wasn't advertised just to hardcore gamers, if it was advertised as its own completely separate thing, more like a toy or an interesting experience that you could play nowhere else apart from on the Virtual Boy, then it might have done a bit better. And maybe it was also down to the games that were on the system as well. A lot of them were basically just either console games or games that would belong on something like a Game Boy, and they just had 3D effects added to them. So they were all very hardcore gamers kind of games. There was no real kind of experience game that would really wow people with a 3D effect. Like, obviously the games took good advantage of the 3D effect, but there was not that one standout must-have game like there was with Tetris and the original Game Boy, or like Super Mario and the NES. There wasn't really anything like that for the system. So it didn't really do very well. the people that did actually play it, from what I've managed to read online, did actually enjoy it, and I'm definitely one of those people. But it seems like a lot of outsiders to the system see the bad press that it got at the time, the fact that apparently it could damage your vision, cause headaches, and that sort of thing. And I know some people did get headaches from it, but I've never really experienced any problems. And I've put many, many hours, probably way too many hours into this thing, and I've never had any problems with my eyes or my head or feeling dizzy or anything like that. I think it is quite overblown, and maybe the people that did enjoy it, like me, they're not as vocal as some of the detractors of the system, the people who tried it for a minute and hated the fact that it was red and black and just hated the whole 3D effect in general and just wanted to denounce it as some crazy system that Nintendo came up with and it was just a massive flop and that's all you need to know about it. But that's not the case, honestly. There are some really, really good games for the system and some games that I really enjoyed as a kid. And talking about as a kid playing the Virtual Boy, I actually got this for Christmas in 97, 98. If you're watching on YouTube, here's actually a picture of me playing it just after that time that my mum gave me the other day. And I was so, so happy to see this picture and it brought back so many really good memories. And before I actually got the Virtual Boy for Christmas that year, I was so, so excited about getting one for myself that I would scour the very, very slow dial-up internet at the time and look at loads of Virtual Boy websites. There was a Virtual Boy fan site as well that I found at the time, and I would just scour every single page of that site, just absorbing all this information about Virtual Boy, all of the different games that were on there. I was like, wow, there's a game called Mario Clash that's not on any other system. How did I not know about this? I was so, so excited. I found out that there was a specific Virtual Boy Wario Land game, which was one of my favorite games on the Game Boy at the time, so I was really, really excited to check them out. I found out that there was this 3D into the screen flying game like Star Fox called Red Alarm, which I actually got on the day when I got this game at Christmas, and I really, really enjoyed that game. There's a lot of people online that say it's difficult to play because it's kind of hard to figure out where you need to go in the game because it's all made out of wireframe graphics, and the fact that it's in 3D gives you that 3D depth, which kind of helps with that. But a lot of people just see screenshots of the game online and it just looks like a mess of lines and wires just crisscrossing over each other. But when you actually play it on the system in 3D with the black headset thing around you, so you're blocking out the entire rest of the world, you actually do see really far into the distance, like it's going down a corridor, and the whole immersion element of it really comes into its own. And another thing that was really good about the immersion of the system was the controller. So it's a really interesting controller, and if you're just listening to this on the podcast version, then I'll try and describe what I'm holding up here. So it's a really interesting design, and it's kind of symmetrical as well. So on one side, you've got a D-pad as normal, and then you have a select and start button. And then on the other hand, on the other side of the controller on the right, you have a B and A button. And then instead of like a C-stick or a trigger or anything, you've actually got another D-pad in the same position. So it's a symmetrical design, and you can actually use the D-pad with both thumbs. And Red Alarm is one game that really took advantage of that. So you steer with the left D-pad, and then on the right D-pad, you can actually use that to shift your ship around and sort of strafe up, down, left, and right. And then there's two triggers at the back, and in Red Alarm, you can hold them down to turn the corners tighter or to fire, I think. So there's a lot of really interesting uses with the controller, and it's actually really comfortable to hold as well. It's got like finger grips, molded into the plastic. The only downside to it, though, is the fact that it actually takes 6 AA batteries, which of course was a running theme at the time with a lot of various handheld systems. You can actually get a replacement of it, though, which replaces it with an AC adapter, which makes a lot more sense because the Virtual Boy isn't really something that you would take around with you on the go. I did back in the day, but I don't really think it's something that most normal people anyway, would actually want to do because it is quite heavy, it's quite bulky, and to use it properly, you really do need the stand for it as well. Although I have seen some people online come up with their own genius inventive solutions, like a head strap or something that goes around your shoulders and then it rests in front of your face. So there are a few ways around using the stand if you really don't want to. But anyway, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent. Let me get back to before I got the system and when I was looking around all those websites, when I was, I want to say like 6 or 7 years old, so I was very young at the time, and you can already tell that I was a huge retro gaming nerd, because by the time I was looking at this, the system had already been discontinued, and it never even came out in the UK at all. But what I would do, I would scour those websites, and I would actually download all of the images, all of the videos of the games running, even all of the things that they showed off at E3 that never even came out. Like, there was supposed to be a port of Donkey Kong Country 2 to the Virtual Boy, and there was actually supposed to be an F-Zero game as well, and a Star Fox game, and there was a 3D demo with dolphins swimming around in there and stuff, and I was just completely fascinated by this really weird alien 3D technology, and I would actually collate all of these images and videos and all of these descriptions for the games and the review scores and things, and I would actually put them into a PowerPoint presentation, and I built this big PowerPoint deck all about the Virtual Boy and why it was the best thing in the world at the time, and I showed it to my mum and dad at the time. I actually presented it like a school presentation kind of, and they had to sit there and listen to me talk about the Virtual Boy for half an hour, basically, because I was just obsessed with the thing. And then it turns out that Santa, very kindly, must have heard from my mum and dad about this presentation, and he got it me for Christmas that year, which was an incredible thing for the time, because I didn't even understand about importing or anything, so I don't even understand how they got it at the time as well. But I got the Virtual Boy at Christmas, and I know I'd been reading about all of the complaints about the system online and stuff as well, but I remember that night, I took it up to my bedroom, I put in the 6 AA batteries, switched it on, and I think the first game I played was Mario's Tennis, and I just instantly was just amazed by it. The intro to Mario Tennis, if you don't know, it starts with a black screen, and then the camera zooms out past the tennis court, and you can see the net in the middle of the court going off into the distance, and then the ball bounces across the screen, and it bounces right up into your face, and then it goes back again into the title screen. And just that effect just completely blew my mind as a kid. I'd never seen anything like it before. And I remember when I actually took the Virtual Boy to college many years later, the people at college were actually really impressed by that effect as well. And that was in 2008 or 9, so way after the Virtual Boy had come out by then. And people were still impressed by it then. And I know people are still impressed by it today. Like, when I see Virtual Boy at the various gaming events around the UK, whenever anyone plays it, they're always coming away actually kind of surprised at what it can do. Even to this day, it is still really unique. I mean, there was the 3DS as well, which of course also could do 3D graphics, and I was really disappointed that Virtual Boy games didn't come out on the 3DS Virtual Console, which I think would have been a perfect fit for it. They could have updated it like they did with the 3D Classics range on the NES, where they could have added colour to the games, they could have increased the resolution, they could have, I would say, make the music better, but the music on the Virtual Boy is actually really, really good, especially in the game V Tetris, which has some of the best Tetris soundtrack that I've heard in any game. But actually all of the games have really good sound, and it has really good stereo speakers as well, because when you've got your head right up close, you have the sound coming out of the left and the right sound channels, and it just sounds so cool. So some of my favourite games for the system, and I haven't got all of the games, in fact I'm just going to briefly have a look and see how many games actually came out for the Virtual Boy. So I can see here that overall there is actually only 22 official releases for the Virtual Boy, and out of those, 8 titles were exclusive to Japan as well. And let's have a quick look on Backloggery and see how many of the games I've got for the system. I've actually got 8 games for it. So I've got Galactic Pinball, which is a surprisingly good pinball game with really, really good physics, and it actually has a cameo of Samus and the Metroids from the Metroid series, which is really cool. I've also got Mario Clash, which I mentioned briefly earlier, and that is a really interesting take on the original Mario arcade game, not a Super Mario game. There was actually going to be a Super Mario, like proper platformer for the system as well, but because they pulled the plug on the system so early, that game never actually got a release. But Mario Clash did, and it's really interesting. So it uses the 3D effect to have two different layers, and you basically stomp on a Koopa on one of the two layers, and then it drops the shell as they always do. But instead of kicking the shell, you can actually pick the shell up and throw it into the background and try and knock out the enemies on the screen in the distance, if that makes any sense. And And you can actually do the same thing as well on the other side of the screen. Or you can kick the shell and it goes through a pipe on one side and then it comes back out of the pipe in the background of the scenery. It's just a really fun game. It's a really fun arcade style experience. And I'm really sad that it's never got a release on anything outside of the Virtual Boy, because I feel like not a lot of people have actually experienced this game in the Mario series, which is quite surprising. I really did think it was going to come out on the 3DS as a sort of remake or a sort of nostalgic look back at what the Virtual Boy was, but Nintendo seems to have a weird relationship with the Virtual Boy. On one hand, they try and forget that it ever existed, and then on the other hand, there's games like Tomodachi Life that really play into the fact that the Virtual Boy is kind of a joke, and you have all the Miis dancing around it, going all hail on the Virtual Boy and stuff like that. So yeah, Nintendo has a kind of weird relationship with it, but I really wish they would actually re-release some of the games for the system at least, because I don't think any of them have actually come out on any other systems. So I've also got Mario Tennis, which is actually the first Mario Tennis game that ever came out before the Game Boy Color and before the N64 one. That is actually where the series got its start, and it's a really addictive game. I played it a lot back in the day. It's got a really good tournament mode, and it's also got a cool doubles mode as well, where you have two characters on either side of the court, and it has some of the best 3D effects on the system too, and some really, really nice sprite work as well. Then there's Panic Bomber, which really doesn't need to be on the Virtual Boy. It's just a simple Bomberman puzzle game, kind of like Puyo Puyo, I suppose, is the closest alternative, except you can drop the bombs and create chains and things like that. It's a good game, but it would have probably been better on the Game Boy than the Virtual Boy. Then there's Red Alarm, which is the Star Fox-style flying into the screen shooting game that I mentioned a bit earlier with the wireframe graphics. That one's really good. It's like split into two different sections. So there's one bit which is sort of like a linear progression down narrow corridors, and you're sort of flying around and shooting all the enemies and just appreciating the crazy 3D effects. And then it gets to the boss fights and the areas open up into a big 3D open area where you have to sort of navigate these big open caves and find the enemies and destroy them. It's a game I played a lot on the Virtual Boy, but it is very difficult, so I don't actually think I've got past level 3. I remember being really impressed as well by the fact that it also has digitized voices in the game too. And then there's V-Tetris, which again doesn't really need to be on the Virtual Boy, but the 3D in that game is kind of relegated to just having a cool 3D background. You can choose, I always chose the Starfield one, which is like stars that are flying past you, and playing this game actually is kind of a precursor in a weird way to Tetris Effect, which came out obviously in virtual reality a few years ago. And is Tetris Effect, I know I've mentioned this many times, but Tetris Effect is one of my all-time favorite games ever. And when I played that, it really did remind me of V-Tetris, because the immersion that you get by having your head in this and not being able to see or hear anything else around you, it really does help immerse you in the game. And Tetris is one of those games that can really, really suck you in, and the fact that the background music on this version of Tetris in particular is just so mesmerizing. In fact, I'm actually going to play it in the background of this podcast, at least over this section, so you can kind of get an idea as to how good the music in V-Tetris really is. And ooh, this is a good game. I haven't mentioned this one yet. So this one is called Vertical Force, and this is really cool. It was made by Hudson, I believe, and it is a vertical scrolling shooter with two different planes that you can move your ship to. It takes full advantage of the 3D effect, because you can actually move back into the foreground or the background of the game, and enemies appear on both levels. And I just love my shoot 'em ups in general, and this one is a really competent shoot 'em up in its own right, but the inclusion of the 3D effect really puts it into a category on its own. It kind of feels like a long-lost PC Engine shooter, but on a system that even less people played than the PC Engine and the TurboGrafx, if you can believe that. Definitely one of my favourite games for the system, and back in the day it was one that I always went back to as well. And the final game that I've got from my small collection, at least, is Virtual Boy Wario Land. And like I said, I was so excited to find out that there was a Wario Land game on the Virtual Boy. And kind of like Vertical Force, and a more recent example would be something like Kirby Triple Deluxe or Kirby Planet Robobots, where you can actually jump between the foreground and the background and you can solve different sort of puzzles. It's a really good game in its own right. It's not quite as good as some of the later Wario Land games, but I really do wish it got a re-release. I know that Jeremy Parrish did a brilliant video on it, so I'll link to that in the show notes down below and you can go and check it out. But it really is like a long-lost Nintendo classic, and I really wish it would get a remake. I really, really do. Let me know, either in the voice notes on the podcast platforms or over on YouTube in the comments section, did you ever play a Virtual Boy? Have you ever experienced one yourself? Are you one of the people who don't like it because of the press that you've heard online? Do you think some of it was kind of uncalled for, like I do? Do you agree with Gunpei Yokoi that maybe if it was advertised a bit differently to begin with, it might have done a bit better for itself, rather than just being targeted towards hardcore gamers that don't really feel like sticking their head into something that's such a gimmick? And they just think of it as kind of a wasted opportunity for Nintendo, and they should have spent their game-making talents on a more capable system? Or are you the kind of person like me who really enjoys it for what it was and really wishes that some of the games got a bit more love than they did? If you've made it to the end of this episode, check in the description as well and go and join my Discord, because this is where the idea for this podcast came up, and I really enjoy having conversations with some of my friends and fans over on there, and it would be great to see you on there as well. So go ahead and have a look in the description and join the Discord, and I'll make another podcast episode very soon. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.